continuing with our Gateway series, and we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not something, oh, I got it, and then that's it. It's not a goal, it's a gateway, it's a doorway into the deeper ministry and how God wants to minister not only to you, but He wants to minister through you. Not just to feel good, but to do good. Now, if we can put the list of the manifestation gifts, that's okay if we don't have them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, the body ministry gifts, the permanent gifts, they are what I'm preaching through is prophecy or preaching, ministry or serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling or leading is a better word, and mercy. So just bear in mind that these are these gifts. We want you to understand the manifestation gifts are just that. They manifest in certain needs and in certain situations. They're not there all the time. You may need a word of wisdom, or you may need a word of knowledge, or you may need healing, or you may need to exercise the discerning of spirits. When you read the book of Acts, you see them in operation, both the manifestation and the ministry gifts. Now, the ministry gifts are more for lifelong progress. They're more for the resident gifts, body gifts, positions, the fivefold ministry, offices, the fivefold ministry who the elders and the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they are offices of the church, and they are different offices. Apostle is different from prophet, prophet different than evangelist different than pastor, and pastor different than teacher, but they're different in their content, but they're not different in the what they're trying to accomplish, because the fivefold ministry, all of the ministry gifts, manifestation, body ministry, and office gifts are all to do what? Glorify the Lord and add to the church and to be a blessing. Amen. And so it's a dynamic ministry. It's not just we come into hear the preacher preach and we go home and our life is not changed. This is stuff to exercise, particularly the manifestation gifts, on the job, in your neighborhood. This is not just to be in a Kenneth Copeland meeting. This is not just to be at a camp meeting. This is to be stuff out in the street. Philip joined himself to a chariot and began to exercise those gifts there. So please understand that these are very important. And so tonight, let me go to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. And would you stand with me as we read these scriptures? These are all of the body ministry gifts. Remember, the manifestation gifts are not permanent. The body ministry gifts are callings and are permanent. And you may not have one of these that I'm talking and preaching through, but somewhere in there you may find yourself. And certainly, if you're not in that group, you certainly can flow in the manifestation gifts, and God can use you. Somebody say amen. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as many as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Somebody say office. So we being many are in one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, that is also preaching, let us preach or prophesy according to propition of our faith. Now, that word prophecy, I've already explained in the manifestation gifts, is a certain way that it manifests. The office of the prophet in the fivefold gifts, there's a flow of prophecy and preaching. But for the everyday resident gift, I believe it's preaching. And now go to verse 7. Our ministry, which is serving, let us wait upon our ministry. On he that teacheth on teaching. And remember last time I talked about serving. And on teaching. Somebody say teaching. In verse 8, on he that exhorteth, which is next week, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth or leads with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Father, tonight, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the gateway to the spiritual life. Thank you for the manifestation gifts. Thank you for the ongoing ministry gifts. God, anoint and unfold to us, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen Now turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Little Johnny asked his grandmother this question. How old are you, grandmother? Well, his grandmother answered like every grandmother should answer. I'm 39 and holding. And little Johnny thought for a moment and said, well, Grandma, how old would you be if you let go? When it comes to the ministry and the ministry gifts, I think too many of us are holding on when we ought to let go. Amen? And let God be God. The thing about the Spirit is it cannot be altogether taught. It can be caught. There is a flow to the Spirit. If you can explain God, if you can put Him down in a little neat little, you know, you really are robbing God of His greater glory. There's a mystery. There's too much, and I believe in organization. That's one of the things in the body of Christ is organization. We must be organized. We must do those things, but we cannot take out the mystery and the flow and the aura and the wow factor. I preached a sermon one time. I may preach it here. The wow factor. You know, there's just some things that let God be God. Let the Spirit of the Lord move. Let Him use people. Be willing to be used. Now, we don't want to go way out in left field, and there can be overzealousness, and over the years, you have seen this, and we in Pentecost, we've seen some who would be overzealous, who love the gift so much that it goes from their heart to their head, and they begin to abuse or misuse. You think, what are you talking about? If you ain't been in church in the last, in any church, you've seen that. We haven't seen it much at this church because there's a long-term pastor here, and there's order here, and there's a function and a flow here. But you'd be surprised. A lot of churches, a good brother or sister in the church, they may get so into the gifts of the Spirit that they wind up kind of bringing a little discord into the church, or maybe flowing not together with the rest of the church. And then it's very hard to tell someone, hey, you know, you've got a gift here, but you can't use it just at every time you want to use it. It's got to be part of the flow of what the Lord is doing. It's got to be decently in order. And then how can you tell me? I'm trying to obey the Spirit. What the Spirit, the Bible says the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So all of the book of 1 Corinthians is written to try to bring order so that we can let go and let God and it all be in order. God is able to do that. Amen. A Pentecostal church where don't tell me we're not going to speak in tongues because we're going to offend somebody that's coming off the street. Don't tell me we're not going to shout and get happy because we're afraid that if we preach longer than 20, I'll tell you what, we need to let go and let God. Amen. And God knows how to build His church, and people who are bound on drugs and pornography and marriages broken, brother, they need something off the bulletin. They need the Lord to come in power and in manifestation and glory in His house. Let the glory of the Lord fall and let people flow. And I'll tell you, we'll go to the gateway. Amen. And I believe God wants to do that. I believe the Lord wants to do that. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the calling or the gifting of teaching. Now, let me say at the beginning that teaching is different than preaching. And it's also different than exhorting, which I'll talk about next week. There are differences in these gifts. They're not the same gift. And again, these are calling. I said it like this. All preaching is teaching, but not all teaching is preaching. Let me say that again. All preaching has teaching, but not all teaching is preaching. This is a God-called gift. I actually think the calling to teach is one of the most common gifts. I believe there are people who are called to teach who may not have felt like I'm called to teach, but they are teaching and they are called to do it. And I want to give you three things about the calling to teach or the gift of teaching. Now let's just go ahead and talk about teaching generally. Point one, the call to teach generally. Now when I'm talking about the call to teach, I'm talking about a specific calling to teach, but there is the general ability to teach. In fact, it's kind of expected of us as believers, for all of us to have some form of teaching somebody something. So there is a general, I would say, how would I like to word this? There's a general need for all of us to be teachers in some respect. What do you mean? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10 to tell you. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10, if you're there, say amen. Now, called of, I'm going to go all the way down to verse 14. Hebrews 5 and 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. Verse 12, we got it? Verse 12, for the time you ought to be what? You have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracle of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the... Don't say that word skill. Skillful. Training. You're unskillful in the word of righteousness. You're a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use... this is powerful. Have their senses exercised or honed in discernment to discern good and evil. So the apostle is trying to explain to them how Jesus Christ came. The pattern of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament was not the Levitical priesthood. It was the Melchizedek priesthood. The Levitical priesthood had a lot of similarities, but came through the tribe of Levi. And there were some. But Melchizedek was a priest that just popped out of nowhere. And there was no record of his birth, or no place of his tombstone. And didn't mean it didn't have a birth. Didn't mean he didn't have a tombstone. It just, there wasn't a record of it. And that's the same way with Jesus. You can't record his birth. Now, his earthly birth you can, but his eternal birth, you can't put the birth date on the eternal Son of God, and you can't put a death date. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And Melchizedek is the order of our true high priest, Jesus. And Abraham, oh, that's a whole story in the book of Genesis. And Abraham fought that battle. And I'll tell you, he rescued his brother, and he was tired and weary. And here comes a priest who wanted to bless Abraham with bread and with wine. How many of you know what the communion table is? It's what? Bread and wine. Melchizedek was a forerunner and a foretype of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says Abraham said, I'll give you tithes of all. Oh, my friend, aren't you glad we have a priest like Melchizedek that will bless us, and we can bless him, and he blesses us more, and he gives us strength for the battle, and he intercedes, and he talks forever with the Heavenly Father. Can you say amen? And so he's trying to explain to them about Melchizedek, and they weren't getting it. But they should have been getting it. Why weren't they getting it? Because they weren't learning. They weren't growing. And Paul was saying here, if he indeed wrote this epistle, which I believe he did, he was saying, not only should you get this, but you should be giving this. You should be teaching this. This is strong meat. This is the word of the Lord. I've told people that if I ask you to turn to the book of Hezekiah, if you have been saved longer than 5 years, I'm going to say 5 years, but let's say you've been knowing Jesus, going to church, and you've been, and you're a deacon, or you maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, or maybe you're an assistant teacher, or maybe you're an usher or a greeter, and you've been saved longer than 5 years. If you pull out your Bible to start to look for the book of Hezekiah, then something's not working. Because there is no book of Hezekiah. And if you know your Bible a little bit, you would immediately know that. Now, if you've been saved 3 weeks and I tell you to go to the book of Hezekiah, then we understand. Because they're looking for Hezekiah, Hezekiah. We got to learn. Amen. So that, wow, we can teach. We should be able to, all of us should teach in certain ways and in certain avenues. For example, parents and grandparents. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But what? Teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. As parents, one of the things you're supposed to do is teach children, listen to this, teach them spiritual things. Explain to them why we have convictions and we do things and why we believe the Bible. And children are very, the power of the father, the power of the father and mother and true, genuine faith can make a big impact. I saw several children at Briary Run who I know their mothers and fathers taught them, and they're doing things for the Lord and they're serving in the church, and praise God for that. And that's very important. We, as parents and grandparents and great grandparents, I'm so thankful. My great grandmother, I remember in 1983, she got really sick with her heart, and she was very feeble, and she walked with a walker, and she went to some meeting somewhere, and she said that, well, first of all, God healed her of her walker, but her heart was still. She said, "I was sitting, and the Lord touched me, and God touched her heart, and she didn't have any heart problems." And from 1983 to 1991, and I turned 12 in 1983, and you listen to me. God extended her life because she imparted to me. She taught me. She was a teacher. She was also a called preacher, but she taught me not in the pulpit, but in her living room. And I remember in 1991, she went to the Falcon camp meeting, and all of a sudden her heart hit her again. She had to have bypass surgery. She had bypass surgery and got pneumonia and passed on to glory. She passed away in September of 91. In that same month, a man by the name of T.L. Byrd called me and said, "Let's meet for breakfast." And he became my spiritual father. And the same month that my granny went. The point I'm trying to tell you is God spared her life for that crucial time to impart to me. Folks, you've got something to give to these people. It's not all about you and how you feel and what you get out of the service. Why don't you give to some people? Why don't you begin to teach some people yourself? Why don't you begin to encourage people? Why don't you begin to, you know, don't just take it in. It's not a goal, praise God. Hallelujah, it's a gateway. And there's lives to touch, and there's people to impact for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen tonight? Now, generically speaking, we should all be teachers in some respect, maybe instructors, as the pastor mentioned, Sunday school teachers, maybe school teachers, Sunday school teachers, instructors, maybe just give good counsel and advice. But in a generic sense, we should all teach someone, but we can't teach others without ourselves being teachable. Come on now. Now, one of the reasons some people aren't teachers is because you can't tell them nothing. They know it all, seen it all. You can't convince them. Let me just move on here. But you can't teach anything if you've learned it all, know it all, seen it all. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, do what? What does it say? Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And here's what happens. Verse 8, exalt her, she shall promote thee, and bring thee the honor when you embrace her. Amen. So, when do we stop learning? You know what? I believe, and I could be wrong, I believe we'll still be learning in eternity. I do. I really do. A million years from tonight, we'll learn something we hadn't known about God. 20 million years from tonight, we'll hit a... I never knew that. Because, you know, you can't ever learn all there is about God. It would take 50 million eternities. A God that can fully be known will not be God at all. And the point is, if you're going to be learning in eternity, you need to be learning now. Amen. Learning. And I'm going to talk about ways we can learn. You know, the Bible says 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Think about a pastor. But what does it say? Read it out loud, everybody. But grow in grace and in the of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Love to learn. Have a desire to grow. Read books. Read devotionals. Study to show yourself approved. Take notes. Be a good thinker, good listener. Try to be humble to say, you know, I know a lot, but I still got a lot to learn. I still got a lot to learn. Tell your neighbor, I still got a lot to learn. Come on. Still got a lot to learn. I ain't graduated yet. Amen. Generally speaking, you never know whose life you're going to impact. You never know what advice or wisdom that you're going to impart. Let the Lord use all of us to teach others about the Lord, about salvation. And what about soul winning? Do you really know how to lead a person to Jesus Christ? And I think about it. If a person came to you and said, what do I do to be saved? Do you know how to tell them? Do you have some scriptures to give to them? Well, let me call the pastor. Really? Now, do you think I would mind you calling me? I'm sure Pastor Jerry doesn't mind. I know he doesn't mind you calling him. But what if you can't get a hold to us? Now, I know Pastor Jerry answers his phone every single time it rings. I mean, when it rings, he answers. Amen. And when you call me, you get voicemail. That's normally what happens if I'm not able. See, he and I have a different philosophy. If I'm on the phone with somebody else or if I'm in a meeting talking to somebody, I put this phone aside because I don't want to interrupt who I'm talking with. You don't like it when you go to the store or when you're talking to somebody and they pull out the phone and start talking in front of you. Now, you might think it's all right. I don't particularly. I like to give people their full attention. But when I get finished, and I pull out that phone. That's not my phone, by the way. I left my phone over there. When I pull out my phone, I'm going to call you back. But what if you can't get me right at that moment? What if you can't get the pastor? Sometimes he's at Falcon. Sometimes he's not able to get his phone either. The point I'm trying to tell you is learn how to lead somebody to Jesus. Well, I don't know how to learn. Do you know how much there is today for you to learn? You not only have preaching in the church. You've got stuff on YouTube. You've got the internet. You've got parachurch ministries, David Jeremiah. You've got study Bibles. In America, I'm telling you, if we're held accountable for what we already know, we're in trouble because with just all that we know right now and all the preachers and, I mean, there used to be a day when you might could hear one good preaching service once a week, and sometimes not even that, depending on the level of the preacher who may not themselves be very educated. But man, it's everywhere. There's no reason for us to learn about the Lord and be able to tell others about saving knowledge of Jesus and explain why. Maybe you don't do it perfectly. Maybe you kind of stutter a little bit. Maybe you're a little shy. Maybe you're not. I'm not talking about that. But in such a way, be bold and be strong. And be willing. You ought to be teachers. Amen. You've got somebody that you're going to reach that we can't reach. Amen. If you still love the Lord, if you love the Lord, say amen. If you still love me, say amen. I know y'all going to call me tomorrow and see if I answer the phone, right? I'll answer. I promise I will. I promise I will. I don't intentionally not answer. That's not me. I want to talk to folks. Tell them about the Lord. Amen. Now, let's shift gears. Say amen if you agree that all of us should be teachers in some form to somebody, somewhere. Now, number two, I want to talk about the calling to teach specifically. That's very good. Teacher of teachers. The specific calling to teach. I was called to preach. In fact, I saw Brian Rogers, who is a pastor of one of our churches here in the conference. We got talking a few days ago, and he sent his greetings. And he always tells me about your influence in his life and the word that you gave to him. And then he met his wife, and you did his wedding. But Brian Rogers and I both went to East Carolina, and I asked him, I said, you stay on campus? He said, I stayed at Belk Dorm. I said, I stayed at Belk Dorm. I said, the Lord called me to pastor. He called me to preach at Belk Dorm. He said, well, I was staying in Belk Dorm and the Lord called me to preach. I said, wow, isn't that amazing? Something that must be holy ground over there at Belk Dorm. If you knew all the stuff that went on at Belk Dorm, you know it wasn't holy ground. But I'll tell you what, in the midst of the mess, God called two preachers. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. But you know, I know the Lord called me, body ministry, to be a pastor. I was telling him, you know, I remember it in 1989. The Lord spoke to me and said, I've given you a pastor's heart. And, you know, some preachers like, well, maybe I should be a teacher. Maybe I should be an evangelist. No, I know I'm called to be a pastor. I may not be a good pastor. I'm trying to be a better pastor. But I know I have a specific calling. That's the office, the fivefold, is pastor. And I'll never understand why. And I'll never boast about it because the Lord put his hand upon me. And I don't feel like I'm worthy of it. I promise you I don't. But there is a specific calling to teach. There is a specific calling. It's the third spiritual gift. It is called teaching. Its meaning is straightforward and simple. It comes from didaskion, which means teaches, refers to the act of teaching, and can refer to what is taught as well as to the act of teaching it. The Christian who teaches is divinely gifted with a special ability to interpret and present God's truth understandably. I'm going to repeat that. The Christian who teaches, who is called to teach, is divinely gifted with a special ability. Say special ability. To interpret and present God's truth understandably. The primary difference between teaching and preaching is not in content, but in the distinction between the ability to proclaim and the ability to give systematic and regular instruction. Somebody say systematic. The gift of teaching. One writer said is the divine enablement. I get this from Owen Weston. The divine enablement to understand, clearly explain, and apply the Word of God to the lives of listeners. The divine enablement to understand, clearly explain, and apply the Word of God in the lives of listeners. Kevin J. Connor said, one who instructs, the occupation of teaching, someone qualified to instruct others, someone who imparts Bible truth to others. C. Peter Wagner says, the especial ability that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to communicate information relevant to the health and ministry of the body and its members in such a way that others will learn. Here's the main definition. It is the supernatural functional gift that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ, which enables them to communicate information relevant to the health and ministry of the body and its members in such a ways that others will learn. Now, how do I recognize the calling to teach? You know you're called to teach like anybody else knows they're called. God speaks to your heart. He gives desire. Did you know that before he called me to preach at Belk Dorm, I had a desire to preach? I wanted to be a preacher. I love preachers. Go back to Steve Edmondson. I'm telling you, when he would stand behind that pulpit and God come over him, and then 30 minutes later, he'd be sitting in my grandmother's recliner. How are you, Ricky? Lord bless tonight. I mean, the scripture that said he turned into another man. I didn't have problems believing that. I'm telling you, he turned into another man. When he was younger, now y'all, it's not as bad today. When you see him at Cracker Barrel, which I see him a lot at Cracker Barrel and different places and stuff, you know, he's grown and his preaching has caused his regular self to be better. But I'm telling you, I had a desire. God put it in my sister, if you would talk to my sister out in the hall, my little sister, Jennifer, little sister, she's 38 years old. She comes here to church and she'll slip in and slip out and she smiles. She's got a great personality. And if you'll ask her, she'll tell you times that I would preach to her and her cousin, our cousin, and I would tell them about hell and they better repent. And I wasn't 15, 16 years old and I'd be, you know, preaching there to my little sister. And I tell you, it's amazing that if you're called to teach, God puts a desire in there. Some people are like, well, I ran from the calling to preach. I ran to the calling to preach. Now, I didn't want to preach. I didn't particularly think that preaching would be easy. I knew it wouldn't be, and I didn't want the glory of it. I just had a desire in my heart. And if you're called to a ministry, you'll feel a desire. You'll feel a passion. And oh God, help preachers and teachers who've lost their passion. That's a terrible thing. So how do you recognize the call to preach? I'll tell you what, you'll know it. God will put it on your heart. There'll be desire, there'll be passion, there'll be prayer. Matthew 28 and verse 19, and notice this. Teaching, I believe, is the most common calling, and more than we realize. We think of preaching, but he said, go into, therefore, to do what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And the Great Commission is the commission and the calling to teach. Does it mean not preaching? Yeah, it means that too. It means apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It means the manifestation of gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It means the gift of leading. It means the gift of mercy, the gift of giving. And it means the gift of teaching. God is raising up teachers and has raised up teachers. Let me give you some examples in the Bible. Moses was a God-called teacher. He had to be. He wrote 5 books of the Bible. He wrote of creation. He wrote of the Exodus. He wrote of his own departure. He was a teacher. He laid down line by line, precept upon precept. He stood in the presence of God and he went to God and sat in school and learned directly from the master's hand himself. And he went and he taught precepts and principles. Moses, the great teacher. Solomon was a God-called teacher. He asked for wisdom, but the gift was in him. In 1 Kings 4, verse 29, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largest of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Let me stop right there. We in the body of Christ, we as believers, we have been gifted with all of the wisdom that this world needs. Christianity has the answers. The church has the answers. What's the political solution? And these people, I'm telling you, we Christians ought not to be in politics. Well, if we ought not to be in politics, then we ought to be in heaven. There's nothing we ought not to be a part of. We are the salt of the earth. And brother, that salt goes into the ballot box. Well, we ought not to say things about political stuff. Are you kidding me? Jesus said it. Paul said it. You've got to have a voice. We are the voice. We have heard. And in Solomon, God blessed him and people came to him to hear wisdom and teaching. Look at verse 31. For he was wiser than all men. And they list these men here that I can't pronounce. And his fame was in all nations round about. Go to verse 32. Are we there? 1 Kings 4 and verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. By the way, you can teach through music too. I just want you musicians to know that. Some of you out there that can sing, what Solomon didn't say, he sung. He put wisdom to music. Think about country music and how unwise that is. I'm married to you, but I'm thinking of her, you know, in my Ford pickup truck. They used to have a song, there's a tear in my beer, thinking about you, dear. How unwise is that? You know what beer would do to you? And people dance to that and Christians listen to it. It doesn't entertain me. But he put wisdom to music. He spake of trees from the cedar tree that's in Lebanon. And we need to speak of that tree called Calvary. The hyssop that springeth out of the wall, which speaks of forgiveness. He spake of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fish. There came to people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which heard of his wisdom. Oh, God, give us teachers and give us people that have such wisdom with God, not just the God-called teachers, but the everyday in the body of Christ teachers. Ezra, the priest who helped bring the captives back and bring order, he was a God-called teacher. Paul, you know what? In this study, I thought about it. And I just want you to help me think about it. But we think of Paul as a preacher. He was a preacher. Paul as the apostle. He was the apostle. But I tell you what, I believe his first and primary gift was teaching. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. A what? A teacher of the Gentiles. You can't. In fact, Paul had such a teaching ministry. You read Romans, woo, Corinthians, Galatians. Peter said in one spot, some of his stuff's hard to understand. Teachers are like that. They get deep. They go deep. They expound. They dig truths. They get into the Greek and the Hebrew and languages and culture. And they study and they bring things. What about in history? There was John Calvin. We heard of the phrase Calvin. Oh, Lord, is it time for me to quit? I spent too much time talking about Sunday. Please forgive me. Talking about last Sunday. John Calvin, we talk about Calvinism, you know, predestination. Some of the people have taken that and gone way far further than Calvin went. But John Calvin wrote the Institutes of Christian Religion, 600 pages. Man, he taught in Geneva, Switzerland. Listen to this. John Calvin taught through the Bible, verse by verse. Like he would start in the book of Luke, chapter 1. This Sunday and next Sunday, he preached Luke chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. The next Sunday, Luke chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And he preached verse by verse. And then they kicked him out of town. And he was gone for 4 years. When he came back to his pulpit, he picked up in where he left off in Luke chapter something, verse something, so and so, and picked up and preached it. That's a teacher for you. Teachers dig. They get into the line by line, precept upon precept. Martin Luther. Here's some modern teachers. How about Elmer Towns? Anybody you know, ever heard of Elmer Towns? That man, well, that man is a God-called teacher. In our conference, Frank Tunstall. Anybody ever heard Frank Tunstall? Pastor, we ought to get Frank to come sometime and teach to us. Terry Trammell. Now, Terry Trammell started out on fire and shaking his leg and being an evangelist, but his real calling has emerged. He's a teacher. And he still shakes his leg every now and then and runs the aisle. Because you can do that in teaching. I love it when our pastor says he's going to teach, but he'll get to kicking his leg around. Amen. Because that preach kicks in. Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Hagin. Andrew Romack, Joseph Prince, David Jeremiah, Joel Osteen is, I'm going to touch on Joel Osteen. In fact, next week, the gift of exhortation. If ever a man had the gift of exhortation is Joel Osteen. Now, I know some of you don't agree with Joel Osteen, and I'm not endorsing some of his, and don't get upset and huff out the back door and think we're in heresy because of Joel Osteen. But I'm telling you, I can't listen to that man preach and not get encouraged. And he speaks the Word of God. If you'll just listen, he brings in Scripture after Scripture. And as long as he's preaching the Bible, I don't care who it is. Amen? And there's some things I feel like he should address, but as in his position. But that's another story for another day. Teachers. Somebody say amen today. Well, you look back at the history. We started out with great preachers. Bishop J.H. King. Oh, one of my heroes. Bishop J.H. King. He was a teacher. No question about it. But you go back to Pentecost and we had those great revivals and Oral Roberts. And we had the great preachers and churches were built. And then you see where God sent us Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and different ones to teach, and Beth Moore and different ones. So, aren't you glad for the gift of teaching? That's the calling. They're university professors, school teachers. I believe many school teachers. Hey, let me tell you something. If you go to any school in Wilson County, you get there at 7:30 in the morning, and you deal with 30 to 50 to 60 kids, and you go home and you're still happy, you've been called to teach. You are called, sister. You are called, brother. Because just like a nurse, can't nobody teach a bunch of crazy kids high on Ritalin or needing Ritalin and on sugar if they weren't called to do it. And all you teachers and all you people say amen out there tonight. So, let me close. And actually, I'm already done. We have the calling to teach generically. We should all be teachers to one another, encouragers, and teach lessons and things of that nature. There is the calling to speak, to teach specifically. And then I want to close with, if you are called to teach, how can I be effective? Did you know that if you're called to do anything, and every one of these sermons that I preach, I want to hone in on this. Whatever your gifting is, whatever your calling is, you're never to just say, I'm a called teacher, and that's it. Well, if God wants to use me, I'll open my mouth and he'll use me. No. Whether you're a singer, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a pastor, an apostle, whether you're a teacher, you can and you must work hard to improve what God has called you to do. How many of you want to be more effective in your influence? I want to be more effective as a preacher. I didn't just graduate from East Carolina. Brian Rogers didn't just graduate from East Carolina. And that's it. We are learning. We're growing. There are things that I'm taking in. I can't give out what I have not received. And just like you, as a pastor, as a preacher, I have to learn. And how do I learn? I learn from others. I learn from prayer. And there's, and I'll close with this, and I don't have time to get into it. And one day we'll have this, but Howard Hendricks did something years ago called the Seven Laws of the Teacher. And he used the acronym, T-E-A-C-H-E-R. He said a teacher, the letter T stands for teacher. It involves methods. It involves your attitude, your philosophy. The letter E stands for education, means a teacher should learn above all people. The letter A means activity, which means that we learn by doing. If you want to be a better teacher, not only talk about it, but walk about it. Amen? Don't just tell somebody something. Show somebody something. You know, teaching and just writing on the chalkboard is not all that it entails. You've actually got to get out there and put the hands on it and show it. All right? So teacher, activity. Then C means communication. If you're going to be a teacher, you've got to learn how to communicate. How many of you know that kids... So how do I communicate? So I can tell... let me just give you a little example, and then I'm going to hush because my time's up. But I was raised on Star Wars. I know all about Star Wars. I know every character. I know I could quote you almost line for line from the beginning of Star Wars Episode 4 to the end of The Return of the Jedi. I'm talking about the original three. And then the prequels came out in the 90s, and they weren't that good. But they were okay. They were fine. And then the latest ones came out terrible. But anyway, I can tell you, may the Force be with you, and people my age and older, or my age and a little younger, man, they know what they're talking about. The Force be with you. But some of these people, they're in their 20s. They are not into Star Wars. They're into Captain Marvel and who? No Pokemon. We got to. Who? Okay. That's what they're into. All right. So there's 20 Captain Marvel movies or Marvel movies, DC movies. You know what I'm going to do? I started watching them. And man, it was good. Captain America. You know what? Some of you, my age and older, you're like, what are you talking about? But my age and younger, when Captain America realized, when they put him in that box and they shut that door and they started to pump in something, whatever it was, and he walked out, and buddy, he could run fast, and he could throw that free. And I thought to myself, that's what God does to us. We come to that altar, and he infuses us with power, and then we're able to defeat the enemy. And I'm telling you, I just communicated to a lot of generation that some of you might not know what I'm talking about, but a teacher learns to communicate in today's generation. Amen? Would you stand with me tonight? Would you lift your hands to heaven tonight? Everybody lift your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, our hands are lifted and our hearts are open tonight. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for teachers who have taught us the good word of God. I surrender all to you tonight, Father. I ask you, Lord, to help each one of us to teach and to communicate and to tell the story. And God, we know that you're on the throne tonight. We know that you're up to something tonight. Lord, we surrender all tonight. We just bless you. Use us tonight. I surrender all. I surrender. If you're a teacher in one of our classes, would you pray this prayer? All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. One more time. I surrender all.
Hallelujah.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.